All right, let's get started. This is Diane, and it is Wednesday, the 24th of April. I'm here with a 3 o'clock group. So far, we have Joy and Celia and Kathleen. Who wants to start us off with celebrations and check-ins?
I guess I'll go first since there was a long pause there. This is Joy. Celebrations and check-ins. So the last time we met, which seems a while ago, we talked about how my son was saying all these like negative things about himself every time we were correcting him. And so yeah. I implemented, as we talked about, the, you know, say 3 to 5 positive things about yourself. And within, I don't know, a week or so, like he doesn't say anything negative about himself anymore.
Awesome. Love that.
So that was pretty exciting.
Well, so it's always fun when things go easy. What can you do to celebrate with him since we're celebrating?
I think it was just, it was good that, you know, that he could actually see, like, even though he might, you know, have been feeling bad about himself, there were all these awesome things. And it, for a little while, it became like a game, and he'll still kind of bring it up as a game, like, I'm really great, Mom, or you think I'm really cute, or I'm really good at this. And so he, you know, is just thinking more positively. And I think that's just the celebration in and of itself of, like, him bringing it up.
Yeah, yeah. So I love that. Love that. Cool. Who else?
This is Celia. I'm not sure I have anything really to celebrate except that we're continuing along the path here. I just feel like 2 steps forward, 1 step back.
So what is it that feels like forward motion?
Well, I thought we were getting a hold of this school situation, but it's been a rough week, and it's, what is it, Wednesday? So I just feel it's really hard to build the plane while you're flying it sometimes, and so life goes on, and we just keep falling back into our old patterns. And it's
so
just
can
really...
can I share an analogy with you?
Yeah.
So the one I love is climbing a mountain, and there are times when you're climbing a mountain that you're going downhill, and there's times that you're going flat, and there's times that you're going up, but the entire time you're still actually climbing the mountain.
Okay.
How could you apply that? How could you apply that here?
Well, I'm still learning, and I'm on the PSS as well as Sanity School, which shores me up. And I have the language, and I know what's happening, which is a lot further than when we started climbing this mountain. But you get used to going down because you feel like maybe you reach the top, and maybe it's starting to go back down. But
well, I guess I gotta ask: do you feel like there's some magical endpoint that's gonna happen, and it's like you're gonna have it all figured out, and you're gonna be like, "Whoo, yay, I'm done." Or
well,
do you know that this is something that you're kind of working towards, and you know your ultimate goal is to launch a kiddo on a trajectory that you know.
Yeah, no, I know this is a lifelong journey. I know this is a marathon. I've got, you know, I feel that we're really trying to figure out how to do this, but we keep falling back into the old routine again. It just seems like, okay, I know we're not supposed to be doing this, and yet we end up doing it. So it's
okay, so hang on a second. So tell me, give me an example of an old routine you fall into.
Okay, the old routine of trying to get to bed at night. This is what we talked about last time, and the whole routine of trying to get him in the bed and get enough sleep, because when he doesn't have enough sleep, then everything blows up at school. And we've just, last night was a perfect example. I said, this is just ridiculous. We just keep falling into the same pattern.
What specifically is the pattern? So instead of going to bed at 9 o'clock, what happens?
He's just so wound up, and I've had him exercising and really, you know, doing as much as possible.
So hang on a second. So I'm going to challenge you to take aim on what to do when he's wound up at bedtime.
Okay, yeah,
as opposed to taking aim on getting to bed at 9, what you really want him to do is you want him to be able to wind down somehow. I mean, and if he's gradually calming down, whether it's 9:30 or 10 or 8:30 or whatever it is, you want to get him into a space where so he's prepared for sleep so that you're not feeling like, oh, my gosh, he's never going to go to sleep. And then you start getting panicky and you go into fix-it mode and you start freaking out. My instinct is what's probably part of what happens.
Yeah, were you there last night?
I was. Only it was happening at my house, and my daughter's 18, and I went into her room at like 11 o'clock at night, and she's reading some crazy book, and I'm like, sweetie, you have a test tomorrow. Don't you need to go to sleep? It happens, right? But the goal here,
yeah.
Right? I'm going to skip forward for you and challenge you to take aim on helping him to wind down in the evening so that transition to bedtime becomes easier. Who did I skip? Kathleen, did I skip you?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
We're doing okay right now. Leo's kind of in a stable place in school, and they had a reading contest sort of where they kept tracks of the number of minutes kids read, and he got the most in his class, so he got an award for that, which is great for him because he doesn't get many, you know, many positive things, you know, so.
Right.
And that was great, and it was funny because his teacher sent pictures, and he looked when he gets excited, he's, you know, he jumps up and down, and he's all excited, and then I don't remember what happened, but a lot was going on, and we didn't get to talk about it right then. And so a couple days later, I was like, hey, I forgot to tell you how excited I was about this. And he's like, yeah, it's no big deal. And I'm like, why are you making it no big deal? You know, it's kind of a big deal, but he seems to be in a good
place.
Well,
so what do you think that is? What do you think that is about?
I don't know. Cause I don't think we downplay their achievements, you know, and, so maybe we left it too long or something. I don't know. But
I guess my curiosity, and I'm going to do the same thing I just did with Celia. So where do you want to take aim moving forward as we have the conversation today?
I guess. He has some interaction issues with his brother, and I would like to see if I can figure out what, you know, how to make that go a little more smoothly for him, you know.
So interaction issues, tell me what you mean.
Mostly his brother... his brother will do something that's kind of mean, and Leo will kind of just totally blow it out of proportion and cry and get hysterical, and his brother is just kind of like egging him on and, you know, definitely not making it better. And so if I can help him, like, just, I think if he would, like, kind of more take it in stride, it would go away, you know, but because
Yeah, so the challenge you're trying to solve is the broken dynamic between the two. I'm going to challenge you to take aim not on the solution. The solution, it's not like you were going to solution, which is if he'd just roll with it.
Uh-huh.
that would be a potential solution. But where you want to take aim is the conflict that happens between them. Is that fair?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. It looks like Laura joined us. Is that right?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I'm late.
No problems. Can you want to just check in and take aim kind of all at once?
This is just my second call, so I'm a little bit unsure of exactly how to.
Okay. So we start with elevation. So how have things been going since the last time you were on the call, and what's been working?
Okay. So some really good highs and some really challenging experiences too. My celebrations would be, since the last call, I had written down that I wanted to do the 5 love languages with my daughter to kind of help pinpoint those motivators for her. And I was I did that, and she was engaged with it. And honestly, I was a little surprised by what the result was. One of the ones I thought for sure would be a language was not in the top two. So I took that and then planned a mommy-daughter date night because she just doesn't get as much time for me as my two younger ones. She's my oldest.
Uh-huh.
And that was really special. She really enjoyed it. I did too. So I felt like kind of put money in the bank for that week for both of us.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, that's well, number one, you finished your homework from last time. That's a celebration. And then number two,
yeah,
it worked. And it fed both of you, and it felt really good. And that is a great way to kind of build momentum, is noticing what works and moving forward. So you mentioned that you've had some lows as well. Where do you want to focus in and take aim for our conversation today, Laura?
Okay, where did I write my questions down? Oh, I think they're in mother notebooks. Darn. Okay, there are a couple of areas. Let me think. Since this one is more time sensitive, I'll go with this. So, she's in piano lessons, has piano lessons, and they happen during the school day. So the only part that kind of I'm responsible for and that we have to work through together is the practice that happens in between the lessons at home. She has a recital coming up next Thursday. And I am concerned about how prepared she is, because practice is a real tension point for us, a real challenge for her. And I'm trying to figure out if I need to just continue to just, I don't know, have her have that experience and maybe not have it not go as well as she wants it to, and then have to deal with the negative self-talk that's coming up, or to give her an out.
So hang on a second. So is your goal to focus in on improving the self-talk, or is your goal to figure out, I mean, what's your real goal here?
Yeah. It's hard for me to distinguish. Like, the self-talk is really the long-term concern that I have. This is just sort of where it's showing up right now. And since the week's reading was about failing forward and how to think about that differently for complex kids rather than neurotypical, I'm trying to anticipate.
So I want to respond to what I think you might have been saying about failure, right? So one of the things that a lot of times, somebody's got some background noise going on. But one of the things that a lot of times I hear from parents is, well, what if I just let them fail and then maybe they'll figure it out? And one of the things we talk a lot about in Sanity School, which is actually an executive function challenge, is the ability to learn from your mistakes. Because that requires working memory. And it requires maturity. And it requires a whole lot of other things. So a lot of times these kids don't have the ability to go, oh, yeah, I don't want that to happen again, so I'm going to do this instead. And so they need help right. to learn from their mistakes in a very different way. And so it, when parents say, well, should I just let my kid fail? You can. But if your goal is really to help your child to change their behavior, the expectation that that failure is going to help them change their behavior is, may not be realistic. Does that resonate?
Yes, yes. And I absolutely do not have that approach that I'm just let's throw it to the wolves. Like, I'm trying to be walk that line with protecting and understanding her differences, but not coddling her, you know? I mean, not overprotecting her from the consequences, just the natural consequence of, like, we've had a lot of these conversations about the connection is between, you know, do you feel as prepared as you want to be? Okay, no. So what do you think needs to happen, or what are you willing to do to change? You know, so we're having these conversations along the way, and I'm
so how
I'm very,
so hang on a
yeah.
second.
But you
so,
said really resonant.
So how? Yeah. So how unwanted is the consequence from her perspective?
It's hard to tell, right? Because I don't realize it until afterwards, and then all of a sudden, this like self hate comes out. It's like, whoa.
Well, okay. So use your
instinct.
You
did really well.
You know your daughter. It's like she. So what you're trying to do is to prevent her from feeling bad about herself after it's done. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I want it
so
to feel like a success for her, whatever that definition is.
Okay. So I'm gonna challenge you to shift that just a little bit, because the reality is that she may not think it's a success, and her response to it not being matching her vision, right? So we all have a vision of something, and sometimes it hits the mark and sometimes it misses the mark. What it sounds like is you really want her to build some effective tools for how to handle disappointment.
Yes, that's fair.
Is that kind of the bottom line of it?
I think what I would love is to be able to do the work on the prevention side, but I don't know if.
Well, so that's the solution. So let's start. But so hang on a second. The solution to the problem is prevention, right? So you've already decided in your head, gee, a way to help her handle disappointment is to set realistic expectations about what it's going to be and not have magical thinking. I got to tell you,
yes.
These kids have magical thinking, mm-hmm. right? So even if she practiced for 5 minutes, she may feel like she's going to be the prima ballerina. Oh, he's a piano. She's going to be a concert pianist, right?
Right.
And because she's got this magical thinking going on. And so her ability to go, oh, wait, I've got to practice a lot in order to be great is not there, because she thinks she can practice for 5 minutes and be fabulous.
Right, exactly.
So that's a reality. That's part of the ADHD, right? And so
okay.
What you really want is focus on, yes, there's some prevention sorts of things, and you can help her do as much as she can to prepare. But what it sounds like you really want is for her to not have that letdown hit at the back end if it doesn't go the way she hoped it would.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. And there's probably some prevention things you can do about that that have absolutely nothing to do with practicing. Is that fair?
I think so. I think I understand what you're saying.
So if we help our kids learn how to manage disappointments generally.
Oh, yes.
When they're in the situation where they're disappointed, specifically, that muscle can be exercised. So how clear are you on where you're taking aim?
I'm taking aim on helping her manage whatever level of disappointment or excitement she has after the outcome happens.
Okay, great. Joy, where are you taking aim?
Oh, I don't know. I was sitting here thinking about that. Surprisingly, this is my 1 year point. So I've been in the program for a year after taking
Yay.
The sanity school. Yay. and we're in a really good place. And, you know, I know that, you know, every, you know, different things come up, but I think the struggle for me is because of their maturity level, I'm dealing with those and like no new, I'll knock on wood, knock on everything right now. No new issues have come up. So we're like still working on the same things. And, you know, some days are more challenging than others, you know, in terms of getting into bed or listening or that kind of stuff. But there's nothing that strikes me right now. I'm sure that as he gets older, we'll, you know, start getting more problems. But there's nothing that comes straight to mind that I'm like, I need to work on this. This is a burning issue right now.
Right.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, it's exciting. So it's something to celebrate. It's like you feel like you're in a good space. And I guess the question is, if you're thinking about this idea, we're going to talk today about failing forward. You know, is there a particular area where you feel like you could get some, you know, could do some failing forward because it's working, but your instinct is that it could be working more effectively than it is?
Yeah. As I was listening to the conversation, it's one of those things that, my son's in Taekwondo, and so, you know, practicing and all that stuff is very important. And I find that a lot of times it works best that other people are the ones telling him he needs to practice. It's not me that keep him driving on. And when I do try to manage his expectations, it never fails. He does really well, and I get the mom, I'm the best. And so I'm still waiting for that time when he is disappointed about something. And so so I'm just struggling today.
Yeah.
But I do
try to dance with it a little bit.
And
so since it's your 1 year anniversary, Joy, I'm going to let you dance with it. And
because
you know how to take aim. And by the end of the call, I'm confident that you'll have some place that you're taking the information and applying it to your family. Is that a fair challenge?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So we are talking about failing forward today. We're on page 50 in the workbook. And I think that when I reflect on this one, this is one of the areas where when I started this work, it was really quite honestly difficult for me. I grew up in an environment where failure was not an option and continuous improvement, and we had to do better, and we had to work harder, and part of it was my family, and part of it was just me and my own personality type, right? And so when it comes to my kids and failure, it always was, it's always difficult because I had this sort of failing's not okay. And I always tell the story about my son failing band class in seventh grade, and it was like this kind of cathartic moment for me because I realized the world wasn't going to end if he failed band class, but it was a really difficult moment for me. So part of this is about our own relationship with failure. How do we see it for ourselves? How do we see it for our kids? What's okay? What's not? Part of it is this conversation we had earlier about learning from our mistakes, right? And these kids do not learn the same way from mistakes as an individual without ADHD or without executive function challenges. And so this process of failing forward is something they need help with, right? So our kids need help to learn how to learn from what didn't work. And so part of that is modeling, which we just talked about, and part of it is scaffolding, right? And so when our kids have something happen that doesn't work the way that they hoped it would, having a conversation and the tool we use is what worked, what didn't, what do you want to try differently? And then I add sometimes, and how can I help, right? So it's that sort of process that they can use to say, okay, this worked, this didn't work, and I'm going to try something different next time. Part of the idea of failing forward is you have to stay in this place of experimentation. And we talk about this a lot in PSS. We talked about this last time, I think. if we're looking for the answer and the end point, what are you going to do? I'm going to do this. And we have this vision that it's going to work, and it doesn't, our disappointment is going to be very different than if we say, okay, so what do we want to try? Did it work? Nope, didn't work. Okay, so what do we want to try now? And I remember very distinctly, my oldest has always had a hard time getting up in the morning. That's been a challenge for him for ages. And when he was like late in high school and getting ready to live away from home for a year, it was this sort of, okay, so what are 20 things that we could try to help you get up more independently? And we just brainstormed everything from throwing the dog on the bed, just spraying water, to singing real loud. And we kind of got into this place of experimentation together. And then we could do so what worked? Well, it worked when you woke me up this way, but the second day it didn't work that way. You know, so it's just sort of you're having this dialogue about what worked, what didn't work, and you're partnering together to solve a problem rather than kind of needing to find an endpoint answer. So being a good model, teaching our kids to fail forward, and partnering with them to do that as they're learning the skill are at a core of this idea of failing forward. So what's coming up for all of you as I share that?
Hi, it's Joy. I think that I like the idea of experimentation. What I was thinking about in terms of failing forward, and maybe this is where I can take aim, is Marco's going to be going into third grade. There's more responsibility with that. You know, he's going to be starting homework and all those kind of things. So maybe taking this piece of experimentation and starting over the summer of trying to figure out, working with him to see what works. To like remember to pack your backpack, do you need a lunch, all those little things that kind of will give him a little bit more responsibility, which he likes, help me out a little bit, but we can kind of play with it over the summer where, you know, if we fail, okay, let's try something else. We're not dealing with school, we're not dealing with all the other stuff, we're just doing fun summer stuff. And I think that might be a good place to work on so that I'm not, here's your backpack, here's your lunch, here's this, here's that. You have your homework, all that kind of stuff. He's going to need to start growing into those executive functioning skills as he, you know, gets a little older.
Cool. So how do you challenge yourself to stay in that space?
I think I have to pick one or two things, not everything. So is it packing his bag at night? You know, he's going to camp every day. He knows what he needs. And just kind of, creating that into our routine. Because right now I pack his bag and I put on his clothes, but maybe he could pack his bag. And, you know, and I can ask, you know, did you remember? Do you need help? Is there something you need? Is there, you know, because he does remind me throughout camp, like, oh, tomorrow I need sunscreen because we're going. So, like, he knows what he needs, but he just tells me as opposed to going and getting it or whatever, but like taking it, scaffolding him to the next level of like, okay, well, if you need it, then go in the closet, get it, put it in your bag.
Cool. So just kind of, yeah, so it's that sort of taking aim and picking one at a time and kind of staying in that space. And I would take it a step further. Maybe even it's a lot of times people will take aim on, I remember we would take aim on sassing when my kid was younger, and it's this sort of, all not sassing all day long is a lot of time to hold it together and not sass. And so, you know, maybe you want to even narrow in and take aim on, you know, packing the backpack on Sunday night, or, you know, kind of getting into the habit of doing it gradually rather than kind of making it an everyday sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of that resonate?
Yeah, most definitely. I think we need to get something that works first before we can expand it out.
Cool. All right. Other thoughts?
This is Celia. I've been thinking about your comments on getting to place of experimentation, and I like that because it sort of makes you rethink your approach. And so I'm taking aim at getting him to wind down, right? So this is my area of saying, okay, I keep trying this one thing and that's not working. So why don't we pare it down and say, okay, let's start again. How late am I eating dinner? How much energy does he have? Maybe I shouldn't be so firm on the 8 o'clock. Maybe it needs to be pushed back more, and so he can have a little more time. Or maybe I should have more motivations. I'm just kind of throwing.
Well, and I think that's the piece of it. It's like trying different things, and so a lot of times we get into the idea that this should work and it doesn't. And it may be because it's not a realistic expectation for your child to be that independent. It may be that there's not enough motivation. It may be, I mean, when you're dealing with things like sleep, it may be sleep cycles. I think about my youngest, and she had this like magic window. And if she would get into bed between 8:30 and 9:15, she was fine. But if it was after that, she would be up until like 11 or 12 and just would lay there in bed and couldn't sleep. And so when she finally realized, and I got her to try, well, why don't you try going to bed earlier instead of later? And, you know, just kind of get in that place of experimentation. It was like, oh my gosh, I went right to sleep. This is amazing. So how do you inspire your kiddo to partner with you to experiment, Celia?
Well, here's the problem, and this is why I was a little down at the beginning. I was a little in a loop because the main motivator was a story. We'll read you a story. We'll take turns, my husband and I. And that's always been a huge motivator, and that just doesn't seem to be working anymore. And we've been sort of locked into that. And not only that, you know, we say there's not going to be a story, and yet we cave and we read a story even if it's after bedtime.
So this is one of the things we talked about last time, but on a scale of 0 to 10, how much buy-in do you have from your kiddo to go to bed at 9 o'clock?
Not much if he's not tired.
Okay. So what you're really doing is you want him to try to wind down.
Correct.
Right. And it's not so much, and I think that that's the question, is as our kids get older, the scaffold changes. So maybe it's, you know, you can be in bed with one light on reading a book quietly, or you can, you know, it's this sort of kind of, how do you give them a little bit more control and let him choose a little bit more independence and feel like you're still accomplishing your goal, which is helping him to wind down at night.
Yeah, I love that because I think that's where I'm missing it. I mean, we've kind of gotten locked into this routine, and last night I was like, this just is not working. And I like that. I mean, we should be throwing out more ideas and then get if he wants to have a little light on and he loves reading a little book, then we'll put the time timer on and give him 10 minutes to do that. Maybe we can work it that way.
And I think that's the piece of it. It's just even asking him, it's like we're going to try some different things. Is there anything that, and the goal is, and I think that that's the piece of it, is that I can't, both times when you've introduced this challenge, it's been about getting enough sleep.
Correct.
And the difficulty with that is that proving to our kids that more sleep is important is really hard.
Yeah, especially
because
when you
say
be a good model.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that too, right? No, but it's like, Mom, what do you mean? I've got to study for my tests. I've got to get ready for this. It's like this sort of trying to convince them that it's more important for them to be asleep than it is for them to do your homework, which is one of the challenges that happens as they get older, is really hard. And so I think that part, the other piece of it is showing to them, you know, modeling for them the good sleep, right? And so if you're having a rough day because you didn't get enough sleep, how important is it for you to say that out loud to your kids so they hear it?
That's really important, and that's probably what I should be doing rather than just acting cross.
Yeah, I am so grumpy today, and I want to apologize in advance. And, you know, if you want to make faces at me behind my back, that's okay, but I should have gone to bed earlier last night. And so modeling is one, and then the other is figuring out how to get buy-in. Wow, I can tell you're really tired today. And and see if they agree. Don't problem solve it first, but just mirror and share what you're seeing. It looks like you're kind of tired today. Is that true? Yeah, I really am. Wow, it's really hard to function when you're tired, isn't it? And just show compassion and start with compassion, because the goal is awareness. And then once the awareness is in, then you can get the buy-in. Does that resonate, Joy?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, this is Celia.
Yeah, it does. I like that. And one of the things that will help my husband and I, too, is just thinking about it different.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Other thoughts?
This is Laura. I have I want to dovetail on that same conversation and ask a clarifying question. So bedtime is, you know, a challenge here too. What is a good strategy when I might ask that kind of question or reflect, you know, mirror what I'm seeing about, you know, I think, you know, we've had a busy day. Do you think you're feeling overstimulated and just a little overtired? And that might maybe what's going on. And then I just get denial back. Like whatever it is that I mirror, it very, very often is, nope, I'm not tired. Nope, that's not it.
Yeah. Well, so there's a couple of things that might be going on. One is that is you know, lack of self-awareness generally. And the other is when we're really exhausted and triggered and almost triggered, our ability to see that we're exhausted and almost triggered goes down, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And so if somebody says, geez, you're having a rough day, and I'm like kind of having a rough day, but I don't want to admit it to myself, that's probably going to throw me over the deep end. Or I'm going to deny it. Like if I'm calm, a little calm, I'll be like, oh, no, I'm okay. But if I'm like not quite calm, I'll be like, what are you talking about? And then it's like, oh, yeah, this is obvious. What is your real goal? Let's go back to what your goal is.
That's hard. Ultimately, it's to help develop that self-awareness. But okay. Don't know that that's realistic. She's 7.5.
Well, and that takes time. So it's not that it's not realistic. So it's that sort of, you're not going to be at the end point at 7.5, right? And so if your goal is to take steps towards self-awareness, walk her up to the next step of independence, right? So being completely oblivious to your emotions is like the lowest step. Completely self-aware is the highest step. And most of us as grown-up adults aren't even at the highest step of this one. So what is it that's important to you about her becoming self-aware?
That would be a long conversation. In the short term, some of it is I want to be able to rely on her to a little bit more than I am to function in certain areas, because I'm a solo parent and I have 3 kids. And she's the oldest.
Yeah.
And so
it's hard. And you want her to. Yeah. So my challenge to you is
with
to focus.
Her next to her. Yeah.
Yeah. So my challenge to you is to focus on helping her to become more independent in some areas and let the self-awareness go, right? So you can see that if she's really tired, she's not going to be able to do this by herself. But if you have an area where she says, I want to do this, I want to put my pajamas on by myself, or I want to try to, you know, so it's this sort of getting back into the experimentation, picking an area of the day. So if you had to pick one area of the day where you'd like her to be more independent so you have more space for the younger kids, which would it be?
I think bedtime.
bedtime. So, so start by just having a conversation with her and say, what do you think we could try? You know, what are, you know, does she, is she clear on the steps that it takes to go to bedtime? Does she even know what the things are? Does she remember what the things are? You know, what are the, where are the sticky points for her at bedtime from being independent, and pick one of those? Does that make sense as I say that?
Yes. Honing in on one of the steps that it takes to get ready.
Yes. So what are the things that she does kind of well independently?
She reads by herself, but that's the last thing that needs to happen. All the other things before that don't happen.
So is how motivating is reading for her?
Depends on the night. It's fairly motivating. It's fairly motivating. Right now it is.
Yeah. And so if you even begin to use that language, so, hey, sweetie, why don't you go and, you know, and you have to set a realistic expectation here, but I'm making this up. You got to apply it to your own situation. But it's like, go and put your pajamas on and brush your teeth. Come back and give me a high five so you can go and start reading soon. And you're giving her, you know, a short number of things to do, and you're inspiring her by reminding her that she gets to read when she's done.
So
you're,
like,
you're adding to scaffolding.
I said, I feel like, honestly, that's every night at my house. And
yeah.
I don't get, like, it could be 45 minutes. And...
okay,
something
so that means so it could
for
take
45
her,
minutes, and none of those things have done.
Got it. Okay, so what happens? She's
unless
distracted?
I'm standing there giving reminders or redirecting.
Okay, so that,
again,
that
not
so that's
every night, but it totally depends on what mood she's in. You know, I could be standing there and reminding her, and she's still like, sitting on the floor or dancing in front of the mirror after she's like, "Mommy, don't leave," and then like, "Well, you're not."
Yeah.
We're not doing anything. I can no longer stand here while this is going on. I'll come back and check with you. You know?
So if she's distracted, that's her sticky point, right? She gets distracted, whether it's from dancing or something going on with the other kids or whatever it is. So how aware are you on those days she's likely to be distracted?
It's probably the same day, the same days that I'm equally distracted.
Interesting.
That's a good point. Well, maybe not distracted, but spread thin.
So,
and yeah, juggling.
So
a lot.
Yeah. So my instinct is that she needs the scaffolding somehow. You're not in a position to give the scaffolding because you're stretched really thin. And so it's hard, right? Because you're there and it's like you want her to be more independent and it's hard for her to be more independent. So, you know, maybe it's about shifting some stuff around and figuring out how to give her the scaffolding she needs so that you can help her to become independent. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll chew on that. I'll work on that.
The parallel is, and I had a couple clients that this happened to, it happened to me as well, it's this sort of aha that if I have everything done myself by the time I wake up my kids, we get out the door faster than if I'm trying to do things at the same time they are.
Yes, and in the morning, that I'm totally on board with that.
So the question is, how can you, so the question is, how can you apply some of what you know about the morning to the evening time to make it easier for all of you?
Okay. I'll work on that. Cool.
Awesome. Other thoughts? Other concerns? So I want to move to our closing questions, unless there's anybody wants some laser coaching on something or has another question.
Yeah, I don't. Could you give me a little laser coaching on one thing, Diane?
It's sure, absolutely.
One of the things my son has, he's 7 and a half now, but I've been really struggling with this, is he, and you had a blog commenting on it this week on lying. And he has this, you know, your blog was, did you catch your child lying? Well, his, it seems to be just a regular part of his conversation. It doesn't even need to matter, and it's a lie. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that, because I come from an area, like you were talking about where you come from, that lying or stealing was just so awful. You know, I was thinking about that before the class.
It's hard. So he's bumping up against the value of yours, right?
Exactly.
So when you read about the different reasons kids lie, which two resonated as ones that might be going on for him?
The one where he didn't, I think he didn't want to get into trouble. And
okay,
usually,
so defensive dishonesty, right?
Yeah, and I like that because I think that's true, because when I say I won't be mad, just tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to work.
Okay, so what's another one that might be going on for him?
I think the other one is I don't think he's even thinking about it. I think he just lies without, you know, trying to tell me something really quick so he doesn't really have to think about it.
Well, it's quick and it's working memory and everything else. It's funny because I just, like, my son is 19 now, and the other night it's like I was positive he had not fed the dog. And he's like, I asked him kind of three different ways to kind of poke around it. I'm like, are you sure it looks like this? I'm like, it doesn't seem like. And he was just like positive, positive, positive. And I just like, you know what? I'm just going to give the dog some more food and move on, because he was so certain that he was telling the truth, and I was so certain that he just had forgotten to feed the dog. And there was not, I mean, we weren't, nobody was going to win in that moment. And so if you can let go of the fact that they're doing something wrong, right, so that lying is bad, if you can get to the place where it's, they're not lying because they want to lie, they're lying for other reasons, what changes for you, Celia?
That shifts. It definitely shifts. And I've been really working on that because, you know, one thing about this child, it's amazing how much he makes you reflect on your own way you were raised. And ADHD is just a whole nother ball of wax. You just
absolutely.
You cannot do any of what my parents did. I can't say any, but it's just in a much different scenario. And that does shift. And I have been working on that. And I'm glad to get your affirmation. I have been working on saying, okay, this is the way he's communicating. He's a poor liar. And that shifts me to saying, okay, now what is it you're really saying?
And other piece of it, Celia, to do is to focus on what you want and not on what you don't want. So you want to create an environment where being honest, it comes naturally. And that's the thing that the kind of tell me the truth and you get a free pass. I mean, that's the goal there. It's like you want to encourage your kids to tell the truth. And that may not work for you. It works for me. But it's this sort of idea that the goal is not to get your kids to stop lying. The goal is to get the kids to be focused on what is as true to them as it can be. Sometimes they do forget. But if they're doing it out of defensiveness, it comes back to our conversation today about failure, right? And it's like if you've got a kid who has a hard time being honest when they screw up, go back and look at how your family handles making mistakes and failing and screwing up, because that might be part of what could change the environment enough so that they can go, wow, yeah, that totally didn't work. I thought I would remember to feed the dog, and I just totally didn't. Sorry about that. Let me go feed him now. So how does that sit with you, Celia?
That sits really well. And I your story about how you were raised and the other part of the class here was really good, too. It really makes you really say, okay, is this my upbringing talking, or is this
the situation right now. So thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So let's go to the workbook, back to the workbook. We're on page 51 with our wrap-up questions. So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success? So take a couple minutes, jot some notes. And I would love to hear at least one aha and one action item from each of you.
Oh, just the second part, one aha and one.
One aha and one action.
Action.
Who wants to start us?
This is Celia. I'll start us since I'm fresh from our conversation. In Laura's conversation with Laura about bedtime, thank you. That also helped me. I liked what I most paid attention to today was how you labeled the be a good model, teaching to fail forward, and the place of experimentation. I made a note of all those three things. And my clarity or takeaway was the self-awareness. It's a challenge, and I know Laura was talking about it too. It's a huge challenge, and they are only 7.5, but they know enough to be able to sit quietly now and look at books. And I think that could be a motivating factor to winding down. And then also thinking outside of the box. I was never allowed to watch videos or watch TV on a school night, but you know, he seems to be motivated by that. So maybe 10 minutes of watching something, if he gets everything else done, might help wind down. So those are the things I'm going to start considering and discussing with him as to what would be the best thing each night, and then try to set that up. And then we'll see where that goes.
Okay. How clear does that feel?
It feels like I'm still sort of formulating it, but I'm certainly going in a little different direction than just the same thing every night, so that feels good.
Well, and that's the thing. Stay in that space of experimentation, and if you don't know whether it's going to work or not, or you're not worried about whether it's going to work or not, you're just kind of like, what am I going to try? It changes it.
Yeah.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, I like that. It just changes it, and then maybe just not be so paranoid about that, you know, he's not going to be in bed by a certain time. We just have to let him wind down, and what does that look like? So we have to just think about it different.
I like that for you. Don't create a problem until you have one.
Exactly. I love
it. It's like, oh my gosh, he's not going to get enough sleep, and it's going to be a terrible morning tomorrow, right? Okay, if the probability of it being a terrible morning tomorrow is something greater than one. The probability of it being a great morning tomorrow, and it may or may not have anything to do with enough sleep, right?
You know, and I love what you were talking about with Laura, where about the next morning. Well, if he's having trouble winding down, well, we start already preparing for the next morning, and that's one thing off my list. So, you know, a number of things we can start doing, shifting. Instead of waiting till he's done bed, and then I work on the next morning, you know, so we can.
Great.
There's all sorts of things we can start pulling around and playing with.
Love that. Joy.
I think the aha, or what resonated with me most, is the idea of the experimentation. I think that we do that a lot, but I hadn't really thought about it in that manner. So I think that really works for us. And the action items, I think I'm going to start with his backpack, and we're heading towards the end of the school year, so I think we can maybe start working on it just on Sunday nights, because, you know, that's our fun day. So just start getting him used to getting things ready and packing his bags, that maybe we can make some kind of game or competition out of it and just get something going.
Okay. How clear does that feel?
Feels good. I think it's manageable and it's not, I don't think it's too hard. So
good.
I think it'll work.
Good. Awesome. Kathleen.
Well, I liked somewhere you had mentioned pick one area to work on, because I think I kind of get into whack-a-mole mode sometimes, and I'm like, oh, that's a problem, that's a problem, and I don't, like, actually fix anything, you know, and so maybe that'll work out better for me. And
so,
we also have lots of challenges with bedtime here, too. I think it's just, I don't know.
So it's not clear to me what you're committing to. It's so this idea of focusing on one thing, how are you going to, is it about remembering to do that? Is it about picking, you know, going back and reaffirming where you're taking aim? What do you think, Kathleen?
Yeah, I think I need to, maybe work on one part of the day at a time. And mornings or bedtimes or meal times, is pick one and then maybe go from there and see how that works.
So which one do you want to try?
Probably bedtime.
Okay. Cool. How will you know that you've been successful?
I would really like for our kids to go to bed by themselves. At this point, one of us has to be in there for a long, long time, you know. And
so I'm going to challenge you to take that one step at a time, right? So there's a long way from you being in there to them going to bed on their own. And so my challenge to you between now and the next time we talk is, what's a little bit more independent at going into bed by themselves? What's a little bit more independent, a little bit more, and a little bit more, instead of jumping all the way to they go to bed by themselves? Does that resonate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of being either I'm there all the time or I'm not there at all, figuring out how to let go a little bit and let them try to be a little bit more independent. Cool.
Yeah.
Laura.
Okay. I think one of the really important reminders to me was to really revisit how failure was dealt with in my family of origin. But I think it all ties in with then the lying and the honesty and what's the definition of that and the intent that's attributed to that and all of that kind of ties together in an important way for me. So, and then my action item is a little bit unrelated, but it's back to the sleep thing, which is I'm going to really sit down and try to translate some of the successes from the morning and see what can fit for the bedtime routine.
Great.
Where are the changes I can make at bedtime.
Okay.
Okay,
so you're going to try to learn from your morning routine what you can apply for bedtime. Great.
Yes.
Awesome. Great call today. This is really, I really enjoyed this, and I love how these always go in different directions. So thank you for being here. Next week is a light office hour call. It's at noon on Tuesday, and then we're back with PSS in 2 weeks, same time, same place. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.